It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Morena Marama, how are you this morning?
Morena Rachel, I'm really good, thank you.
You must be excited about the Australian election result. We're seeing probably the largest number of Green and Teal Party members in the House that we've ever seen over in Australia. How is the Green Party in Aotearoa feeling about this?
Yeah, pretty stoked, and I think it shows exactly how much the public want political leaders to take action on climate change. So that was really clear. What I've been keeping an eye on how the Greens campaigns have been going on the ground. And, you know, they went back to some basic, simple grassroots movements, door knocking, getting out into the communities with volunteers, and really standing strong on some clear, bold, courageous policy platforms, not the least in climate change. So we're really hoping that they can push Labor over there to go, you know, farther and faster on climate change. But, you know, they like the Green Party movement around the world, understand the connection between ending poverty, more equitable society, protecting nature for people and planet. And, you know, so that was the platform that they were consistent on around Australia. So heaps of power to them. And we've got a close relationship with them. And we'll be swapping trade secrets and sharing practices and learning from each other as we always have. Massive, massive congratulations to them. And can I just also mention, you know, they've always had a particular analysis and understanding of the connection to upholding Indigenous rights and Indigenous representation. They've got a really good Indigenous representation happening. And I will take the opportunity to congratulate Linda Burney from Labor, actually, who will be the first ever Aboriginal woman to hold the Indigenous Affairs Ministerial portfolio as well.
It is some significant changes to the government over in Australia. I believe it brings some of these conversations that we haven't seen to the forefront of Australian politics, as you're saying, Indigenous rights being a really significant one. What are you imagining we might see between the New Zealand government and this new incumbent government in Australia when it comes to, I guess, collaboration on social policy and some of these broader political conversations that we have in common?
Well, I hope that we're able to actually make some progress on some real key issues for the Tasman relationship. And I'll probably highlight what's happening with the, I think people know them as the 501 deportees, mm-hmm. people who are being targeted and deported from Australia to New Zealand with very little support, transition support, not knowing almost every single time, you know, almost having no sort of grounding, no connection, and being just dropped really, and pulled away from often the only place that they've known as home at all. And, you know, I know that the New Zealand government has had words about that, about the cruelty, the injustice of that process. The Greens over here have collaborated with the Greens in Australia to be a really loud advocate against such inhumane approaches. And so I really hope, for example, that we come to see some progress on banning that that incredibly inhuman practice. And look, I think it was last night, we saw a New Zealand, early reports, but we saw, I understand, New Zealand death in one of the detention centres. The human rights abuses are just stark.
Is there much to indicate that we will see changes on this from this new government?
Not in terms of successive government approaches, no, not at this stage. I think this is a real opportunity to get some movement and progress on especially some of those human rights issues that New Zealand, Australia have tried to collaborate on over the years. The human rights issues in refugee, migrant and detention centres, you know, it's a real stinky one that really needs to be sorted out. If we don't take this opportunity now, we may never get any similar opportunity.
Let's talk about the family violence funding that we're going to be seeing that was put forward just ahead of the budget, which you have spearheaded. This is your portfolio. How much money are we seeing and where is it going to be used?
Yeah, so I was really proud to announce a $114.5 million package for my prevention, family violence, sexual violence portfolio. And I just want to say that one of the most important things about this package, it's the first budget since the launch of Te Arere Kura, which is the national comprehensive strategy to eliminate family violence and sexual violence. That's a 25-year strategy. And so the budget and where it's going to go is into the key shifts that the strategy basically sets out, which mm-hmm. says this is how we have to change how we are working. We have to focus on prevention. So that's where a massive bulk of mm-hmm. that package is going. We have to focus on building the scaffolding for government working differently and ensuring that we are being collaborative, providing good, safe services, appropriate, culturally safe services, and also reaching out around the regions to all of the areas. And we also have to make sure that we are prioritising people who are most impacted on by violence, who have unique, harmful experiences of violence when violence happens. So that includes disabled people, rainbow people, Māori, Pacifica,
There has been some criticism from disabled communities that there isn't specific funding initiatives set aside for the particular issues that disabled communities face when it comes to family violence. Why haven't we heard anything specific about this yet, and are we going to be seeing that in the near future?
Yeah, so I really take that seriously. It's really important. Te Arere Kura makes it very clear. One of the first things we have to shift is the way that we are serving all different groups and communities. And disabled people, of course, are one of those groups of people most impacted on in a harsh way. And so we know that funding specifically ring-fenced for disabled people creating directions and programs with and led by disabled people has been announced long before this budget. However, what I'm hearing from people is that's simply not enough, that there needs to be more targeted, bespoke initiatives, both mm-hmm. in the initiatives, the general initiatives, so there needs to be a disability lens across all of the work that we are doing, as well as having bespoke, having, specific and distinct services that are led by and specifically for disabled people. And so that's work that I've already reached out to those voices, those valid concerns that people are raising, and including Paula Tesorero, the Human Rights Commissioner who I spoke with yesterday, as well as Debbie Hager, one of the lead voices also raising these valid concerns. I'm really committed to making sure that we are going to see both a disability lens across the work, that's what Te Arere Kura makes really clear, as well as seeing distinct support for ring-fenced disabled people being able to lead their own bespoke programs as well. So I think that's something that the budgets have already allowed for, but we absolutely need to see more of it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the government's most recent, I guess, immigration announcement has been met with quite a lot of criticism from the Green Party, yourself in particular. You've been very critical of what you're calling a two-tier system for immigration. What is your major concern with what we've heard from the government?
Yeah, look, the major concern is that it is creating a hierarchy that is rewarding high-income migrants while keeping low-wage workers and especially in essential areas like, for example, aged care. So what this system, the reset, is announcing is basically entrenching in that discrimination on low-wage workers. And if we take aged care as an example, it means that those workers who were basically, you know, and I had someone reach out to me from the aged care sector saying, oh my goodness, Marama, our sector is screaming, absolutely screaming for workers, and is being held up as well by immigrant and migrant workers. And so being able to offer them an ability for a pathway to residency, mm-hmm. You know, would be an incredible way to say we value that work, we value our older people, our older community, we value the care that is provided for them. But no, the immigration reset announced by the minister continues to bake in that discrimination. And then what I want to say is, while it may not intend to set up systemically racist discrimination, the outcome of it is that it absolutely does. Because where do the low-wage workers tend to come from? They tend to come from the browner countries. Where do the higher income wage workers tend to come from? They tend to come from the whiter countries.
So what would the Green Party like to see? Countries. What would the Green Party like
to see?
We'd like to
see pathways to residency. Okay. We'd like to see pathways to residency, especially for essential areas like aged care, like nurses who are also discriminated against in this reset. We'd like to see the pathways to residency. And we'd like to, actually what we'd like to see is a reset of the values by which we value people's work here and how we value people at all. And a tiriti-centred approach would really help us with that. We're actually not just limiting our definition of success to how much money a person makes. That actually we're, we've got broader values such as manaaki and aroha, and recognising the inherent dignity that all people come with that has got nothing to do with simply how much you earn. Mm. So that's what the Green Party would like to see.
We have to wrap up now, but I did want to just really briefly ask you, because it has just come up in this last week, about Goalris's private members bill that came through for trying to campaign to make the voting age 16. Now, we know that this is going to be probably a bit of an uphill battle because a lot of older New Zealanders haven't thought about this yet. Is this going to be something the Greens actively campaign on?
Oh, this is a massive priority for us. We're putting ourselves on the line for this. So yes, it's make it 16. Absolutely, we stand by that clear and loud. They are the generation who are set to inherit the decisions that us older people are making for their future. It seems actually criminal that they aren't included, especially when they have shown such incredible connection to big issues and crises of the world and getting out on the streets all around the world, and especially here in Aotearoa. But look, it's more than that. It's a democracy bill that we're really proud of. It includes things like allowing for Māori voters to switch between the Māori and general role whenever we like, not just wait for 5 years. It includes returning human rights to prisoners for prisoner voters. So, you know, it's a whole raft of a package which actually will improve our democratic system as a whole.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see how that one shakes down. Thank you for your time this morning, Marama. As it is 100% New Zealand Music Week, you've picked us a Church and AP song this morning. Why have you chosen Church and AP?
Oh, because they're super, super awesome. Of course, I was privileged to be interviewed by Elijah, who's Church, at 2020 election. And then, of course, Church and AP generously performed for the Green Party at our final election campaign. But look, have a look at their lyrics. And I know where I think we're set to play Ready or Not, which, of course, was one of their most well-known singles that really shot them into stardom here and around the world. But have a look at their lyrics across their album. Have a listen to their interviews. These are some super typically conscious South Auckland young people, South Auckland brown skin experience, lived realities, and their artistic creation, their level of genius in both their creativity, but also in their, I will say their politics, they won't say that, but they are absolutely political just in how creative they are. I love their mahi and I wish them all the absolute best of luck.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Marama. We'll speak to you in a few weeks. Ka kite.
Ka kite. Thank you, Rachel.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.